God is preparing us for the miraculous. That God's always doing that. If the enemy has cheated you and lied to you and called you to think that God has something than a wonderful life mapped out for you, then I want you to know it's the day when you need to turn your thoughts around. And you got to know God's always working things for good in my life. Always working things for good. But the Lord needs our cooperation. The Lord desperately needs us to believe in Him, to trust Him and obey Him, and to allow His goodness to unfold. Now, the wonderful thing about God's great plan for us is that it's always without repentance. Some of you think you may have messed it up, or and some of us that are my age think I may have waited too long. But both of those are impossibilities. Because God is able, miraculously, to bring His plan to pass in our life anytime we get on board with it. Anytime. The same way that many of us may have stepped off of the train of God's purposes. Man, the very moment we step back on that train, it's got the same destination. And so the Lord is at work. And if we'll believe that and cooperate with God, the devil can't mess up God's plan. The devil just can't do it. See, some of you didn't have confidence in the devil, but you had confidence in yourself. To where you thought you could mess up God's plan. But I'm here to tell you, you can get back on that train and you can begin to look toward God's purposes in your life. And you just got to determine, God knows best for me. God knows best for me in my life. Now, we're living in a time where we all want to be independent. But I'm going to tell you what. You need to pull off of your vehicle the sign. I hope nobody has this sign. Where it says, God's my co-pilot. And you need to let Him be your pilot. Amen. And you need to allow God to get in the driver's seat of your life. And then because the Lord has far more planned for each one of us. God's plans for us are good. Cody, they're wonderful. They're wonderful what God has planned for us. So now all that God needs is my faith and my cooperation with it. Now, it is the Lord and me. Now, a lot of times people say, well, it's God. But it's really God in you, through you, using you to bring about His purposes and His plans. I mean, if God didn't need you, then why don't you just go ahead and die? God needs you. You're a part of God's plan. And because every one of us would be much happier in heaven than here. But the thing about it is this. That's why when a person says, oh, I want to go and be with God. I'm just tired of living. It's not up to you. It has nothing to do with when you're fed up. It has nothing to do with how tired you feel. We're here for God's purposes and God's plan. And we yield our life. We surrender our life. All God needs is my surrender. We surrender our life to His purposes and His plans. For God to accomplish through us what we never thought God would be able to do. Now see, some of you haven't reached that era of the miraculous. That's why I'm talking about this in this series. We're talking about God's preparation inside of me that's preparing for something great outside of me. And what we all want the Lord to come to the outside of us. That's why usually I told him in early service at Camden this morning, which I just preached, that really the church is mostly a congregation of beggars. We beg God to heal us, or we're begging God to supply for us, or we're begging God to make us happy. Or we're begging God to change them. Or we're begging God to change her. Or we're begging God. And God never intended it to be that way. I want to talk to you this morning how real grace and real power operates through you. I want us to come to an understanding of how God wants to use me to bring about a greater purpose than He ever has before in my life. Now, first thing we got to realize is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. It says that the love of Christ controls us. Wow, powerful statement. Now, most people say, there's been a lot of things that controlled me, but it wasn't God's love. See, for the Lord's love to control you, you must surrender it to the Lord. God's control in our life is not like a hard ruler that would place his hand on you and turn you in just the right direction. God's control comes from within you. It's each one of us allowing God to have this control of us. Allowing God by His Holy Spirit to control our life. Now, when it says the love of God controls me, that means the love of God is desiring to work through me. The love of God is desiring, and I have a choice in it. I can choose to resist God's plan. And like I said, we become a lot of times a congregation of beggars. We've got to realize God's miracle for you out here, whatever that is, whether that is a life of happiness or the life of joy, God healing your body, God miraculously turning your family around, whatever it is, it always starts in here. Amen. See, God's miracle for you didn't start when you realized you needed it. God's miracle for you was able to foresee your life well beyond you could ever imagine it. That little darling that's still in that precious womb, God foresees that little life. In fact, God says at that stage, God plans our life and God places in our life wonderful things. And the Bible says it unfolds according to His word. So the Lord has this marvelous thing, but it does take me yielding to the Lord. So, I mean, you that are just praying, oh God, pay this bill. Or, oh God, change my marriage. Or, no, that God's first miracle is started. That miracle is started all the way back some time ago. God is working in us individually. Therefore, no man will ever be able to stand before God and say, you failed me. You gave me the wrong woman. Or you gave me the wrong kids. Or you gave me the wrong job. Or you gave me the wrong circumstances. No one will ever be able to stand. Because whatever your circumstances, if I will begin to yield to God in here, God will be able to miraculously move in the midst of my life. So we don't play this silly game. I mean, the process of Moses. Moses messed it up for 40 years. 80 years old, he finally got on board with God's plan. And 80 years old, when he got back on the train, he found out that the destination was still the same. And God's power, even at 80 years of age, God's power could bring it to pass. So the love of God controls us. Now, some people are just controlled by your thoughts. Now, I pray, what are you controlled by? What are you controlled by? Are you controlled by what the enemy has lied to you most of your life and held you down and caused the insecurities and inferiorities? And I mean, what is controlling your life? You've got to make a choice. Either I'm going to let God be in control of my life, the Bible says love, or either I'm going to allow what has tried to control me for all my life to still be the master of my life. Or just controlled by your feelings. Some people, they're totally consumed by their feelings. Well, I feel like they're mad at me. Or I don't feel right with you. Or I don't feel like God's going to work this out. Or I don't feel. And feelings of betrayal and feelings of anger and feelings of resentment and feelings of unforgiveness and feelings of bitterness. Some people's lives, you can't let God be in control of your life because you allow your feelings to control you. So you just got to determine. Either God's going to be in control of my life or these other issues are. Thoughts from the world. Some people are just totally controlled by the world. The world has made you so mixed you up in its thoughts to where you judge right and wrong. You judge success and not success. Let me tell you, where in the Bible did God ever tell you that your success was determined by the amount of money that was in your paycheck on Friday? Where did you get that? So we have to determine, I will not allow the world to control me. I will not allow my feelings to control me. See, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, it says Satan, who is the god of this world. Now, we don't want to think about that. But then some people just thoughts of their selfishness. Some people are so selfish, you can never get on the plan of God. It's always you. And people, and you don't understand, the way life gets happy is when we begin to understand, we don't live for ourselves. And because thoughts of selfishness so consume people's lives, they never ever can find happiness. The Beatitudes tell us the exactly opposite. The Beatitudes tell me a person is happy when they're most surrendered to the Lord. That's what they tell me. That happiness comes not from me getting, because me getting just breeds lust for me to get more. But happiness really comes by me willing to give. And so in the process of God's great plan, some people, you've got to understand, I'm going to resist this selfishness. I'm going to resist it. What I'm talking about is preparation for the miraculous. I don't know what you need God to do, but I know God has a marvelous plan for everyone. But I do know that right now, sitting in this service today, God is preparing you for the miraculous. Now, if you will yield to Him and allow God to work in your life in here, then you won't go wanting for the miraculous out here. But if you're resisting what God is dealing with you about, if you're resisting what the Holy Spirit that brings the power, first the Holy Spirit comes in to gain control. And the quicker that I will let God be in control in here, the quicker that He will be able to manifest His miracle outside of me. Now let's see the problem a little bit. Romans chapter 12 verse 2, it says, but let God transform us. So God wants to transform us. Galatians 5. The sinful nature wants to do evil. Now I'm going to tell you, you're going to always have that as long as you're on planet Earth. As long as you're on planet Earth, there's going to be a part of you that wants to do wrong. Now one is going to be in control. And one you're going to feed and going to get strong in you. Now the Bible says the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite. Everybody say the opposite of what the Spirit of God wants. And the Spirit gives us desires. So inside me right now, there are these evil desires, but God's also desiring. Oh, and I know we get completely deceived because the Bible says if I'm a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, I become deceived. So we become deceived and we try to convince ourselves that these desires that we know inside of us are wrong. We try to convince ourselves that they're really right. And what the Bible calls that is self-deception. The Holy Spirit wants to walk into your life on a daily basis. And the Holy Spirit wants to have a free course to check off certain things in your life and cross out certain things in your life. God's carrying you to a destiny. God's carrying you to a purpose. And God has a great happiness plan for you. But if you will allow the Holy Spirit to move into your life and X certain things out of your life and check certain things, if you will allow the Holy Spirit that right, we call that surrender and we call that willing to follow the desires of the Spirit of God. All right, the Spirit gives us desires. All right, next verse is this, verse 17. It said these two forces are constantly fighting. There is this wrestle going on. Now, some of you, the reason you're having a hard time is because you've given place to those wrong desires. You did not resist them, and you began to yield to them. The more you yield to wrong desires, the less in control you are. Oh, I've heard it, honey. For 40 years, I've had people say, well, you know what? I just want to be the man that's in control. You find somebody that says that, they're the least control. Because the truth of the matter is this. The more you give the Holy Spirit control in your life, the more in control He makes you. And the less you allow the Holy Spirit to control your life, the more controlled you are by these evil desires and these things. See, some of you, or some of us, have just allowed the wrong desires to be like a wild horse. Now when I was young, I was telling this in the early service this morning in Camden. When I was young, I loved horses. We did on horses what people do on cars now. See, I know you thought I was 32, but I'm not. I mean, when I'd go to town, we saddle the horse. Man, and ride into town on the horse. And when we'd go out with my buddies, we'd all get on our horses. And we would ride. Man, we had a love affair almost with our horses. And one of my greatest places to be was the blacksmith shop. And some of you don't know what that is. But one of my greatest, one of my fondest memories is having the horse on. It was an everyday Saturday ritual. Us guys that had horses, we'd meet at the blacksmith shop. Man, it was such a joy. But I had such a love for horses and being with them. But it helped me. Now, I have nothing to do with horses now. I told him in the early service, I only deal with an old mule. I mean, a bright new horse. But, this is a rare honor. Lane and I usually hardly ever get to hear each other. We're usually preaching various places. So when she jumped in she let me jump in hers. But she did this morning. It was such a rare jewel. But I learned to stop a horse that is moving fast takes a tremendous amount of effort. That's what you've got to know. That you've allowed to run loose in your life, that you have allowed to go beyond what you should have, those desires that you allow to be fulfilled that should not have been, it's harder to stop a horse that is running. Now, it's easy to stop a horse that is walking. If you just have a walking horse, it's easy. We learn to literally do this. When you'd be on a horse, and so we would do races and various things, and a lot of times the horse would get so wild, they would just be a runaway. And during those moments when that horse began to run away, I would literally take a hold to one rein. Sometimes you had to reach down in the midst of that speed and grab the bridle. I'd literally pull that horse's head back completely around so he couldn't see where it was going. Took a lot of effort. Took a lot of strength. Because he's got a lot of strength in that neck. But if you're going to stop something that's running away, it would take a tremendous amount of effort, a tremendous amount of just hanging on, tremendous amount to literally take that horse's head and pull that horse's head around backers. And when he could no longer see where it was headed, it would stop. So I want you to know, whatever it is in your life that you've allowed to run loose, it's going to take a tremendous amount of effort. But I'm going to tell you what, when Jesus comes into our life, Jesus just expects us to love Him that much. Amen. Jesus' expectancy is, see, the moment that you became born again, there became this innate desire in you, this tremendous desire in you to please God. Now, I don't know what happened after that. And after that, we began to yield to our own selfish ways. We began to be led off astray. We began to listen to the wrong desires. And before you know it, that desire to be completely pleasing to God in our life, that begins to drift away. Or it doesn't drift away. It begins to grow faint. And what you've got to do, you've got to get a hold to yourself. And if you have to reach down and grab that bridle and pull your life completely around to a halt to get it re-cranked up right, you've got to do whatever it takes. Everybody says, amen. You've got to do whatever it takes. Because as long as your desires are running wild, it will always be carrying you to a destructive end. I'm going to tell you what, honey. You better be smiling, because what will happen is you're going to be crying before long. Because when desires run wild, when they begin to run wild without the restraint of the Holy Spirit, when your desires begin to run wild, they're heading you toward a fast destruction. Let me say, stop it. Whatever it takes, stop it. Pull it around. Bring it to a halt. And say, Holy Spirit, I need your strength. I can't do this alone. I need your strength to help me. I need your power to help me to do it right for the glory of God. Amen? Now, the Bible says they're constantly fighting each other. And there's always... Now, I know we like to watch fighting on television where the opponents are supposed to be equally matched. I don't believe in equally matching opponents. I believe when you go into that battle, you've got to know that the Holy Spirit is strong in you. And you have got to know that you have power. Every day of your life, you've got this battle. So you're either going to weaken one of those and you're going to strengthen one of those. You've got to determine, I'm going to get strong enough in the Lord. I'm going to get strong enough. I'm going to allow the Spirit of God to just quit excusing and start reaching out and allowing God to move in your life in a much stronger way. And allow the strength of God to be able to control and direct your life. Can you say amen? You will never be happy. Listen, you will never find happiness. That's what the Beatitudes are. They're happy is the man. Blessed is the man. The word blessed means happy. And happy is the man who has surrendered, who has everything surrendered, who finds his joy in God, who finds his purpose in God. Happy is the man who lives a life. That's what all the Beatitudes add up to. Happy is the man that surrenders everything to God. Now, I don't know what you're holding back from God, but I hear him here as a mouthpiece for the Lord to tell you today. As long as you hold back from him, as long as that area of your life goes unsurrendered, you will never find the happiness, honey, that you're looking for. But the very moment that you say, God, I'm tired of being in control. I'm messing my life up. I'm tired of following desires that's not of you. And you allow God to become the controlling factor of your life. At that moment, God's purpose is and plan can begin to unfold. Amen. Now, Romans 8 and 2 says this. And because you belong to him. Everybody say, I belong to him. You got to know something too. You that have come to Christ, if you follow your own desires, you're going to be miserable. Once you know Jesus, you will never be happy. Oh, you will try to put on a flirtation of happiness. You will try to carry on a mimic of happiness. But once you know Jesus, honey, your heart has been touched by the greatest one of all. Once your heart has been touched, you will never, ever, ever, ever know true happiness outside of doing his purpose and his plan in your life. So what you've just got to know, if you want to stop all the years of heartache and heart pain, if you want to stop all the future of things going down the drain, if you want to stop when you get a little bit put in your pocket and it begins to sift out through the holes, if you want to stop all of that, then you stop playing with God. And you come to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, you've saved me. I need to surrender my life. I need to surrender everything to you. Help me, Holy Spirit. Everybody say, help me, Holy Spirit. Notice what it says. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you. God, you now have a power. You can't give excuses. I don't know how many times people try to give me excuses. They try to give me excuses for every silly, weird thing in the world. I just sit there all the time knowing that they're lying to themselves and they're trying to lie to me. Because the truth of the matter is, once you know Jesus, and especially you that have been filled with the Holy Spirit, there is now a power in you to change. You may not be activating it. You may not be using it. You may be pushing it aside. But I'm going to tell you, you will never be able to stand before God and say, God, your power wasn't in me. Because once the time that you accept Jesus, there's a power source in you, and that power is to change us. Amen. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 5, it says, for those who are dominated, use that word dominated. Those who are dominated, something's going to dominate you. Either you're going to allow God to dominate you, and it all comes down to a measure of trust. In everything in your life, whatever issue, whatever circumstance that you're going through, if you want to know the bottom line of that, you can write these letters, T-R-U-S-T, trust. The bottom line of everything is trusting God. The bottom line of every hurt, every pain is trust. The answer to every dilemma in life is to be able to come to a place to trust God. To be able to trust God with my fear. To be able to trust God in times of anger. Being able to trust God. See, because that trusting God is the supernatural flow. Let's talk about that in just a quick minute though. But dominated by the sinful nature. Think about sinful things. If you're going to continue to think the same way you have thought before, then you're going to continue to be dominated in the same way. You've got to understand there's got to be certain things that's resisted. And let me say again, if you're on a runaway wild horse, if you've given way to that thing, if you've given things in your life lead way that they shouldn't be, then that horse is running so wild, it's going to take a great strength. It's going to take a great willingness to be able to stop that thing, to be able to reach out and grab a hold of that thing and pull it around. It's going to take a great strength to stop something that's run away. Now, you that have not allowed that to take place, you're going to find it much, much easier to fight the warfare that God's expecting you to fight. But I'm here to tell you, honey, I don't care. You may be on a wild horse running 10,000 miles an hour, but I'm here to tell you, God is able to stop that thing. If you will begin to say, Lord, I need your strength. I need your power. I can't do this on my own, but you can do this in me, your strength and your power. God will not fail you. He will make into your life available what is needed to be available. Amen. So the Bible says, so letting your sinful nature, or those wrong desires, letting the wrong desires is going to lead to death. I'm going to tell you what, you can believe what you want to be. You can believe Heartbroken Magazine. You can believe Worldwide Sports. You can believe any of that. But I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing that will ever be more true than that word. Amen. The word of God is the basis of truth in our life. You may have deceived yourself and convinced yourself of all types of things. But I'm going to tell you, the Word of God is going to be proven to be true. Your life is not going to prove that the Word of God is false. Your life is going to be. And the Bible says here that if I let that nature, if I let those wrong desires control me, that it's going to bring me to death. Death of my marriage, death of my family, death of my children, death of my circumstances, death of my finances, death of my future, death of my happiness. There's going to be death. If I allow wrong desires that God intended for me to defeat and win. The greatest joys in life, the greatest testimonies in life, is when the drug addict is able to say, I don't yield to that anymore. I lean on something else. It's when the person that's been an angerholic, that's used their anger to control people and situations, when they say, I don't have to do that anymore. There's a power in me that is stronger now for the glory of God. The person that's given away to discouragement. And don't take anything, a drop of a hat, and you're discouraged. I mean, you pray. I mean, you beg. You beg, and then you get up and look and see if something is different. And when it's not different, it discourages you. You've got to understand those are control factors in your life. But when you realize that the power of God in you is stronger than those things that's tried to control you. God wants to build you, the Bible says, through the fruit of His Spirit, or His Spirit working in your life. For there is a consistent flow of love. Where there is a consistent flow of joy. Where there's a consistent flow of peace. And then in the last one that's listed there, God wants to give you a continuance, the strength to continue. What that means, anything God puts in your heart, you will have the strength to continue it till it's done. When you say, well, I'm getting too tired, you got to understand because you're leaning on your own power. You've got to learn to lean on the Holy Spirit's power. There's a strength in me to continue. Amen. But letting the Spirit control my mind, what happens? It brings me life and peace. I don't know about you, but most of the times that I've counseled people, that's what the two things they wanted. They wanted a better life and they wanted peace in it. And those are the two things that we go out and what the Bible strictly says. The Bible says, when I listen to the Holy Spirit, when I listen to the Word of God, when I allow the Holy Spirit to take that word and put it in my life, it's going to produce a life of real life, happy life, wonderful life, joy-filled life, spirit-filled life. And it's going to bring, you know, a life of peace and a life of great joy. Now, but if through the power of the Spirit you put to death. Now, notice this verse. It's a real important verse because it tells you how to win out over those wrong desires. It says, if you, through the power of the Spirit, through the power of the Spirit, you put to death those. That's what God expects you to do. Somebody says, I don't know what to do with these wrong desires. God's expecting you to put it to death. God's expecting you to be strong in Him and to put to death that that's lurking against you. God's expecting us to put to death that desire, those feelings and those emotions and those thoughts and those things that's trying to pull us away from God's plan. God's expecting me to put it to death. Now, let me close with this. I want to close with what I feel like is the greatest need in the church today. The greatest need in the church today is to learn how to release God's power. Almost every time that I find somebody that's in any kind of need, they're always wanting prayer. Or usually, I mean, I'll be honest with you. Most people want begging. Unless you beg with them, they don't feel like they've got anything. But that's not the way God looks at it. The greatest knowledge that you can gain is how to appreciate, number one, God's grace. And then number two is how to release God's grace in your life. Now, usually there's a lot of talk about grace, but what we usually do, and we consistently are talking about grace from God's point of view. And we are thankful for grace from God's point of view. But the Bible says grace is not only a point of view that the Lord has toward me. The Bible says that grace is something that I can receive at the throne of God. The Bible says that I can come boldly to the throne of grace. And I can receive a supernatural help and a supernatural power in my time of need. Most people have no idea. They don't know how to deal with their feelings. When your feelings are afraid and when you're fearful, or when your feelings are angry and when your feelings are discouraged and depressed. And let me tell you, I've known all of those extreme control areas. Most people don't know what to do with it. Let me tell you what to do with it. You've got to learn to depend upon the grace of God. Be honest with you, those feelings, those thought patterns, those giving up tendencies. Most people that say, I'm going to give up on my marriage, you can also go back to their parents that gave up on their marriage. Also go back to grandparents that gave up on their marriage. This is a tendency. You got to understand, you can break free from that. Somebody say, I can break free from that. That's why sickness tries to follow people right down the line too. There is help. Everybody say, there is help for wherever I'm experiencing need. And that help is the grace of God. Most people will not use the real grace of God. They don't know how to release it in their life. And God, all the while, told us, there's two major things that will release anything in my life. Anything you get from God is released through little simple things. Somebody says, make the Bible make sense to me. I can't understand. How can I get God to help me? There's two major things that will release every part of God into your life. Number one, it's faith. It's got to be by faith. You've got to be willing to believe God. That's what I said. Everything comes down to trust. Trust is my ability to believe the Lord. Whatever's going on in your life at this time, you've got to be able to say, God, I'm trusting you. You've got to. The Bible says, when I am afraid, I will trust. That's what David said. When I feel fear, I will trust God. When I feel anger, I will trust God. When I feel disappointment, I will trust God. When I feel things are going down the drain, I will trust God. When I feel my marriage is gone, I will trust God. When I feel my kids are all going to go to hell, I will trust God. When I feel God's not answering my prayer, I will trust God. Wherever it is that your fear is, that's the place God says He wants to zero in. And God gives you the strength to trust Him. Two areas move God. One area is faith, trust. The second area is obedience. Because obedience is not blind obedience. Obedience is a step of faith. Whatever you're going to get from God, it's going to take a step of faith. It will never happen in your life. Some would say, well, I just want to wake up one morning and it's like a little tooth fairy been under my pillow and just boom and it's all better. It'll never happen like that. It will never, ever happen like that. You've got to be willing to take steps of faith. What does that mean? God's going to ask you to trust her when you feel you can't. God's going to ask you to trust him when it seems like everything is not working out. God's going to ask you to trust the Word of God in your healing when everything seems to be getting worse. The only way God ever releases anything into your life is through this area of faith and obedience, which is a step of faith. It takes a step of faith, and whatever you will ever, ever get, unless you're willing to do that, then you will never, ever be able to be helped by God. You got to know that. The only way God can help you is to be willing to take steps of faith. Now, what is a step of faith? There's three stages to the step of faith. The step of faith is one, it's in my need. Here I am, standing here in my need. Once the step of faith is made, I have what I receive. The problem in this area right here is that step. It's that step. It's when you don't have what you need, but you only have the promise of what God's going to give you. It's in that process of that step that most of us lose everything from God. It's in that thing, that's where your feelings become the strongest. That's where the doubts in your mind become like howling screechings in the midst of the night. That's when the fear that you won't make it, that you're fearful that it will fail you, is all in that moment. Once you make the step, you receive God's strength, equips you to receive. It becomes the miraculous moment. But before you make that step, it's the moment of the promise. But what you've got to do, you've got to believe God enough to be willing to make a step of faith. Explain that to me, Pastor. Peter made the classic example of a step of faith. Leo, y'all can come on now, darling, if you would. Peter made the classic example of a step of faith. When Peter was in the boat, everything he had, everything that he told, everything was solid. Everything in his natural world was working for him. But now the command of the Lord said, come. Jesus was out on the water. See, it's not because Jesus is not healed that you can't believe in him. But I'm telling you, Jesus is healed today. It's not because Jesus don't have enough. He is full provision today. Here's Jesus out on the water. And while Jesus is standing out of the water, the command, the word of God to them is, Peter, trust me and come. At that moment, Peter had to be willing to defy his feelings, to defy the thoughts, to whether the thoughts were of selfishness. Well, I can't love her. She's liable to do me wrong. I have to be mad. If I'm not mad, they'll lose control. If I don't feel discouraged, then who's going to feel sorry for me? See, all of those thoughts, and whether those thoughts are coming in from the world, my selfishness, or literally from the devil, I have to make a decision. I'm going to fight some things to get to that next level. I'm willing to fight. I'm willing to fight. I'm willing to fight whatever it takes I'm willing not to listen to my feelings. I'm willing not to listen to my reasonings. I'm willing not to listen to my emotions. I'm willing to listen to God. And at that moment, we have the deciding factor. Now, there's not a one of us probably that doesn't have things that we would like to see God change. But God's change is not starting in the thing, or in the deliverance, or in the miracle. God's change is starting first in here. For first, I am willing to believe. I'm willing to trust God. What that means is I must be willing to surrender it. Unless I'm willing to surrender it, God's going to never be able to conquer it. God never conquers what is not surrendered. So if I'm going to see the Lord conquer this thing, then I must be willing to surrender this to the Lord. You know, Sister Vashti, I have this right now. The Lord has miraculously delivered me from a lot of health issues. I mean, miraculously. Right now, I'm in that process, just like everybody else, over pain in my back and in my legs, see. But I've just determined that pain is not going to win, and that disease is not going to win. God is going to win. If it's not worth fighting for, it's not worth having, Alan. If it's not worth fighting my thoughts for, it's not worth having. If it's not worth fighting what I feel, it's not worth having. If it's not worth fighting the fears that I feel, it's not worth having. If it's not worth fighting the emotions that I feel, whether anger, frustration, unforgiveness, whatever it is, it's not worth having. If you want to live with your miracle from God, you're going to have to be willing to first fight you. And you're going to have to fight it in faith and just determine, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. I tell you what the devil can't stand. For some of you that may be fighting all hell in your marriage, in the very moment when the devil thinks you're the most discouraged, you'll rise with a smile on your face and a confidence of trust in God, placing your hands to heaven and saying, God is God, I'm trusting the Lord. What the devil can't stand is for you that your family seem to be flying apart. The kids seem to be going every way. The devil can't stand. He doesn't know what to do with it, David. A lot of things the devil knows what to do with our discouragement. He's just going to make you more discouraged. The devil knows what to do with our anger. He's just going to make us get angrier. The devil knows what to do with our feeling sorry for ourselves. He's just going to put us in a situation where we feel more sorry for ourselves. But he doesn't know what to do when you begin to defy that emotion and you begin to defy that lies and you begin to say, I tell you one thing, devil, God's going to see me through. God is going to see me through. Now, I'll tell you what, that's pretty easy to do in church, because in church, we got a little music going on, a little praise been going to happen here. But then tomorrow, you've got to be willing. If it's not worth fighting for, it's not worth having. What God has promised you is worth having and is worth achieving. But in the name of Jesus, you've got to be willing to defy everything that it takes to defy it to be able to get there for the glory of God. Can you say amen? So the Lord's going to help us do that. God's going to help us do that. God's going to help us do that. There are some right here this morning that there are things in your life that you know that are not right. And there's things in your life that God dealt with you, but you have just seen, you've seen yourself in a way that, where you've not been able to see yourself clear to overcome it. That's why the devil keeps you in the fog. That's why the devil's ways are foggy and God's ways are light, Alan. Because you just haven't been able to see your way through it. But God has a word for you today. that if you will surrender it to Him, He'll come in that situation and begin to pour a strength of grace into your life that will empower you to walk out of that thing and over that thing for the glory of God. Amen? Amen? And then there's others here today that you just got things that you just desperately need God to change. And God says, I'll change it the same way I did all through the Bible. You will believe, number one, and then you will obey. You will be willing to take a step of faith. Many of you may not know that step of faith, but I guarantee you the Holy Spirit will give you one. The Holy Spirit, when you invite the Holy Spirit to bring you into that victory, He'll begin to give you. The alcoholic says, I wish I could be free of alcohol. The drug addict says, I wish I could be free of drugs. The person that's given place to anger says, I wish I could be free of this anger. The person that's discouraged says, I wish I wasn't depressed. Honey, you can wish all day long and it will never leave you. But at the moment that you make a decision, I'm going to surrender this to the Lord, and I'm willing for the Lord to give me a step of faith, and I'll be willing, even if I have to defy my feelings, even have to defy what I think, I'm willing, God. When the Lord said to Peter, He said, come to me on that water. Peter lifted up that foot and he put it on top of that water. It was shaky. And honey, it'll be shaky in the battle. In the battle, you'll feel like it's all flying apart. It's okay, honey. God deals with shaky things and God makes them right. And then He'll help you to get that other foot up. And before you know it, you'll be standing on that water, receiving your promise, your miracle from God for the glory of God. Amen. Right now, I don't know, I feel this compulsion. I also feel that the enemy, I also hear a sound. Maybe what I need to laugh at a moment. Some of you have things in your life that you know is not right. God's dealt with you. If you'll be willing, whether it's an attitude, whether it's a way, whether it's a thing, whether it's not willing, God's willing this morning to help you. What I want you to do, I want you to stand to your feet, every one of you, to let us stand right here. If you really want that thing to change, I want you to come and join me here, right here. And I understand. Come on. If you want that thing to change, if you desperately want it to change, the Lord has the power of the Holy Spirit to bring a freedom in the midst of our lives. Power of the Holy Spirit. Power of the Holy Spirit. Power of the Holy Spirit. Now the Bible tells us to pray one for another that we may be healed. There is no magic wands, Dale, is there? There is no magic wands. Because it's so important that you're involved in this fight. What God's going to do is that in that moment that you lift that foot up, that shaky moment, that God's going to make you supernaturally strong. God's desire in this was never that it would defeat you. God's desire in it that it would make you strong. Because that same strength, you're going to be able to turn around and to meet so many changes head on. And you're going to be able to confront so many things. And God's going to greatly use you for your glory. But first, the Lord, for God to greatly use you, it has to first start with you on the inside, the willingness to surrender it, the willingness to take a step of faith. Then the second thing is, God must be allowed to work this miracle in you. Because if you're going to go help somebody else, you got to tell them what a miracle God He is. He's not just the God we talk about. He's a God that changes families, changes marriages, changes circumstances, changes children, changes health, changes situations. And so God has got to do that. But that's God's part. Amen. Our part is to surrender and then to take that step of faith. I'm just going to quickly lay hands on you. I'm laying hands on you. I'm not laying hands for deliverance. I'm laying hands for grace. For the Lord to put a supernatural grace in you. Because this is not the first time you've wanted free of this. It's not the first time that you've wanted change. God knows that. But the Lord wants to put a grace. So I'm coming along, praying one for another, that healing and strength may come. And God's going to give you a plan. It may come in your prayer closet. But God's going to give you a step to take. And as you're willing to make that step through the grace of God, Lynn, I just pray in Jesus' name for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I agree with, in Jesus' name.